We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to episode 570 of the Worst on the Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Dan Hilton, and here it is St. Patrick's Day in the U.S. So yes, I am wearing a combination of Blaugrana colors with a little bit of green so I don't get pinched. And while it's a bit bigger here in the States, they still celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Catalonia. And on paper, he may have looked unlucky, but Xavi's team had all the luck against Atletico Madrid today. Subscribe, follow along on the podcast apps, or help support the show on Patreon or through the merch store. And without further ado, let's talk about it. The mauling at the Metropolitano, the five headlines from Barcelona's 3-0 win over Atletico Madrid. Headline one is waiting for a wake-up. Everything that Xavi was trying to do with his starting 11 today, I fully understood, and I actually thought the one he picked was pretty right to the way Atletico Madrid was going to play. Now, obviously, hindsight is 20-20, but even if this one didn't go his way, I still do support Xavi on that starting 11. João Félix versus Atletico Madrid. Yeah, it makes sense with the choice of starting João Félix against the one team that he really played well against this season other than Real Betis, but it was also the right choice if you're going to get anything out of him and the match to do that as he had to. I know there's an international break, but Lamine Yamal is joining the Spanish national team for the break, so he had to rotate Lamine Yamal after Napoli. That means João Félix had to get the start, and Rafinha stayed in the side. Starting Sergio Roberto as well, I know immediately the discourse is going to be about people who hate him or defending him, and he's going to come up in this five headlines, but starting him, at least in this game, made sense to me. He was coming off his best appearance, and I know that bar was low this season, but his best appearance of the season against Napoli, and I also think to start, Xavi wanted to protect the 20-year-old Fermín López. We're also going to talk about him, but for a little bit of foreshadowing, I do want to remind you that he is also 20 years old and in his first professional season. So the mental and emotional highs and lows that you expect from really young players, he is still one of those in what is his first professional season in the top division. Remember, he was in the third division last season. Plus, I think there is something to be said about too many young players. So with Hector Fort needing to start at left back because Cancelo unavailable, that meant Fort was going to start alongside Cubarsí. Lamine Yamal got rotated, but understand we'd also want to protect Fermín López here. But then losing Christensen just before kickoff, that meant Fermín had to start. I thought that was the right choice too. No offense to Orubimeu, but I like the fact that Xavi with that midfield, at least on paper, looked like he was going for it. Though, of course, not having a natural defensive midfielder, that had me worried going in. So let's jump in. Heading to the 7th minute first, Morata was offside here, but Araujo might have fouled him for what could have been a penalty. Not the best start from Barcelona. I know it ended the way Barca fans would have wanted, but go back to the beginning. This was a shaky start from Barca. A Ter Stegen giveaway led to a Barrios shot that went wide. There were some corners. Atletico Madrid were having no issues pressing Barcelona at all to start that game, and you could immediately see the lack of Christensen supporting the back line. Not necessarily on the ball, but even off the ball. Christensen makes up a lot of space, defends well, and just shuts down those passing lanes in a way that none of those three midfielders were doing. 11th minute, Rafinha getting past Lino. He was fouled, then wins a corner. And just like he did against Napoli, you need your forwards to take some pressure off the team when things aren't going great. Win a corner, get fouled, and just let everyone relax for just a moment. I thought Rafinha was smart to do that. You could see his experience. 15th minute, Koundé with a nice dribble through two, but went down a bit too easily for the penalty call. On the other side, Barca got Atleti offside again, but in the build-up, Roberto was beaten for pace. That set off a few alarm bells for me at that moment that Barcelona could not allow Atleti to get in transition because they weren't just trying to go the way that Napoli did over the top to Osimhen with Morata. Instead, they were trying to play through the middle into space with numbers going forward as long as Lino, especially on the left, could break down that left side and beat Koundé or Roberto for pace. Roberto also had a rough giveaway a minute and a half later, and I know it feels like I'm just piling on Roberto at this point, but Fermin and Gundogan also weren't winning their duels either in the first part of the game. Gundogan fouled Riquelme just outside the box on the subsequent defensive stand, and Barcelona has to have the better midfield structure to have a chance in a game, and they didn't. That's why they started this game so poorly. And for those who've been with me regularly or been with me before, you know that my brand is never really going out too far on either limb in either direction. So almost to immediately defend these three, it is the first time seeing them together. But you do expect that this being March, that there would be some understanding based on training sessions. But my issue was that against Atletico Madrid, they were exploiting the space in behind Fermin, who was playing a bit higher than Roberto. And what this led to was Barcelona basically, when they did settle down a little bit there after that first 15 to 25 minutes, they moved into a bit more of what was a 6-8-10, I guess, with Gundogan playing as the holding midfielder, not even a pivot, but the holding midfielder, and then Roberto playing kind of as an 8, a box-to-box, and then Fermín López shading to the right, but basically operating as a number 10 and leading the charge on that press behind Lewandowski. So instead of playing with a single pivot with two interiors or double pivot with a free midfielder farther forward, it really felt like Xavi was doing something that we really haven't seen from Barcelona since it was Busquets with Arturo Vidal and whichever other midfield player was playing with them when they would stack that midfield 6-8-10. Fortunately for Barcelona, in the first part of the game, Atletico Madrid didn't make them pay. Riquelme's set-piece distribution early on was really poor. And then Cubarsí versus Morata, and Cubarsí has been up to the challenge so far with all the different strikers he's had. And Morata, I don't even know what to call him, but he is a different kind of striker and a really good striker as well, though he was not coming in great goal-scoring form. So I think if everybody's healthy, he probably doesn't start that game for Simeone today, but Barca did give him some chances, and he didn't make them pay. I was also surprised that Simeone, instead of trying to attack Fort and Cubarsí, it's one of those things where if I put myself in the shoes of an Atletico Madrid fan, I'm saying, well, I think I understand why Atletico Madrid is trying to overload the left side with the speed of Barrios, Lino, Riquelme, and Reinildo with Morata shading to whichever side the ball was on. And while that is interesting on paper because you have Depaul, Molina, and Llorente on the other side against Fort, Cubarsí, and Roberto, you'd think that you would have the advantage on the other side. But like I said, the space was in behind Fermin, and you had that speed for Lino, and Riquelme was forcing Araujo to have to keep one eye helping out Koundé. So that meant that they were coming down the left because that says more about them than it did about Barcelona's weaknesses. And it did look like the right idea when Koundé picked up a yellow card on Riquelme there in the 33rd minute. Not the best idea to pick up a yellow card in the first half, but as you know, Barcelona survived that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you think of great duos, who do you think of? Jordan and Pippen or LeBron and Dwayne Wade? I mean, I talk about basketball a lot here on this podcast, but for the Barcelona version, there's Piqué and Puyol or Piqué and Mascherano, or the easy example of Xavi and Iniesta. And as you can hear from my voice, the perfect teammates aren't just professional athletes. It's cold season. I guess the flu and cold medicine, perfect teammates as well. But in this case, when it comes to growing your business, that's you and Shopify. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. To be honest, I've been doing this show long enough, and as I mentioned, it's cold and flu season. You hear it in my voice, especially during the holiday season. So whenever it comes to this business, anything that I can set up and kind of have working in the background that I know and can trust is just plugging along without my attention, those are the things that I really value at this point. So when my brain is foggy and all I can do is manage to turn on the microphone, talk to the guest, or just talk to myself and get out a piece of content, everything else, having that all automated or working in the background, that's been important to keeping me sane. And that's the thing about something like Shopify. What I do love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. So no matter how big or small, how good of a month or how bad of a month, things are just the same working in the background. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is a global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs on every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tbpod, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/tbpod now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/tbpod. On to headline two, who else, part two. I think we got rid of pretty much most of the negativity, because here on out, we're on the terrific train or the positive path or whatever you want to call it with alliteration. My alliteration has been on point today. Best Barca chance of the first half up to that point, 35th minute, finally down the left for Barcelona. Fort, a thumb up for him here, kept it inbounds. Felix came inside, giving the space for Lewandowski on the left. Lewandowski lofted to a wide open, maybe offside Rafinha, but Rafinha got it all wrong and didn't even force an all-block save, so your head slapped your forehead for the first time of the day, but maybe the last. 38th minute, Fermín López did force a save on all-block this time, a ball over the top, then another one shortly thereafter. Barcelona, by that time, as they were nearing halftime, were beginning to percolate. And that wound up a minute later rewarding them with a goal. Now Felix scores it. Hector Fort with an important pass. I think important is the word I want to use here, because that second defender had come over to take it off the 17-year-old. But an important pass to break through those two from the sideline, back to Roberto, one time to Gundogan. That meant there was space for Gundogan to go forward, beat one on the dribble, found Lewandowski again to the left, who was also in a 1v1 situation because of that pressure that had moved to the sideline, and João Félix was free for the little cutback and the perfect foot shape to guide it past Oblak. Really, really nice goal from Barcelona all the way through. Fort, Roberto, Gundogan, Lewandowski, Félix, everybody had to do their jobs for that ball to go into the back of the net, and that's why it looked so easy. And Felix, and even on that finish, it was harder than it looks, but it's a good team goal, and I think a good response for the team who had not had a good first half up to that point. Xavi was kicked out in the 42nd minute for a man so respected, especially as a player and around the game. Boy, he must be saying some out-of-pocket stuff to the referee, especially having not been on the sideline for the last La Liga match either because of those yellow card suspensions. But Oscar Hernandez, his brother, at this point must be getting pretty good on the sideline, being his fifth time there already in Xavi's managerial career. 44th minute, so just before halftime, Morata missed high on a ball that wasn't cleared. And I mentioned luck, and Barca did get a bit lucky there. But that was a reminder of Morata in less than stellar form at the moment. But Barcelona, I think at that point, were just happy, up 1-0 to head to halftime. Headline 3, Lewandowski, lucky or legend. A lot of hyperbole in that headline, of course. But as I said, my alliteration game is pretty on point today here on St. Patrick's Day. And that's certainly the theme with the luck thing. But Memphis Depay, Antoine Griezmann on a bum ankle on at halftime. Simeone not resting on his laurels, making those subs on for Morata and Lino. As I said about Lino's importance to their tactics, I was surprised that he came out, but I also think the quality on paper at least of Memphis and even a 75% Griezmann makes sense with these subs, and it should have made things a little more horizontal for Atletico Madrid as well. And I think this was also clearly looking to overload the middle channels with those two subs. I brought up my issues and worries with that midfield three in the first half, and I think that's what Simeone was trying to exploit. Both Memphis and Griezmann capable of dropping in and heading into the half space then, running into the half space that should in theory be available on the shoulders of Araujo and Cubarsí. But before Atletico Madrid could really figure it out, It was a nightmare sequence from Rodrigo De Paul that put Atletico Madrid down to nothing. 47th minute, picks up the yellow, that is De Paul, on an ugly tackle on Roberto. But credit to Barcelona as well. They were pressing well coming out of the second half with a bit of energy and intensity. Araujo stepped forward and cut off the forward pass with Roberto. Fermin was pressing De Paul, hurried him up just enough, and he plays a really poor ball, gave it away to Rafinha, on to Lewandowski, who took himself wide, but that shot was perfection from Lewandowski on the inside of the post and into the net. It's a tremendous solo goal on this shot, but that flick on from Rafinha picks up another assist. You can't stop him. Even if you think it was a bad game from Rafinha, I told you the things I thought he did well in this match, and he also picks up another assist. Can't stop those goal contributions from the Brazilian, even if Lamine Yamal is higher than him on the depth chart for all those reasons that we already know about. 51st minute, almost another one. Rafinha beats his man again. You know when Rafinha brings his dribble game on the day that it's probably a good day for Barcelona? He gets it ahead to Fermin, who bottles across Lewandowski, but still, good movement from the front four on the night. And I add to Fermin Lopez, as he was working with Felix and Rafinha when they would drop in and rotate out to the wings for them. And that really good movement from the front four almost made up for the lack of structure in the midfield. At that point, 2-0, it could have been 2-1 if not for a triple save from Ter Stegen. Riquelme's shot led to the corner, then the double save came. Llorente had his shot saved by Ter Stegen's arm, and then the left foot save off the close range shot from Memphis. And Simeone kept tinkering, even down 2-0 at home. Koke and Angel Correa on for Llorente and Riquelme. 60th minute, Barcelona have a little bit of an answer in the form of a 16-year-old in Lamine Yamal. Yes, I would have liked to see him rested for this whole game, but I don't think those last 30 minutes already up 2-0, and we know that obviously they're going to score shortly thereafter Lamine Yamal came on. But I think with that game kind of in second gear, I know the idea of Atletico Madrid on the road means that it's going to be a really taxing 30 minutes, but by that point, I actually think the game had lost a little bit of its luster because there were more opportunities at that point for both Atletico Madrid, who were putting some numbers into attack. But it was sloppy passing from Barca and I thought speculative efforts from Atletico Madrid. And I thought that summed up the middle part of the second half where the game did kind of lose a bit of its shine. Punctuated by a long ball from Ter Stegen played in behind for Lewandowski who stayed onside against Savic who had just picked up a yellow. So couldn't do too much to put Lewandowski off. However, the Polish striker scuffs it. So I end this headline by saying it's a little luck, but he is still a legend of the game, though he still needs a few more trophies to be considered a Barcelona legend. So let's leave that there. Headline 4, don't forget about the kids. 65th minute, here comes the third goal. 3-0, Lewandowski cross into Fermin for the header. Lewandowski also helping with the build-up here. Gundogan forward for Koundé. He loses it, but Lewandowski had a ton of time to cross this when he picked it up, and Fermin Lopez was left wide open between Witzel and Molina. That Atletico Madrid defense, if you have not been watching this season, have not really been good at all, particularly the other guy that lost Fermin Lopez in Molina. That now makes it 3 straight games for Fermin Lopez where he's had a really good impact that I have been really happy with. And I reiterate again that you can pick apart his game and maybe he could have a better final ball. I always try to remind you that some of the reasons he doesn't start is that he does leave a little bit of space in behind. His pressing timing isn't exactly all there. Just because you're energetic doesn't mean you're always in the right spots. But I do think that Fermin Lopez is learning on the fly. And I want to remind you, he is still just 20. He is still just, 20 to 25 appearances into his Barcelona career. And much like the other youngster, this is just hopefully the beginning of a long career for Fermin Lopez. Now, Atleti may have lost their legs after both having one less day as Barcelona after Champions League midweek and going the distance against Inter Milan in extra time and penalties, but you look at their bench and they had more depth than Barcelona did, so I don't fully support the excuse about the midweek Champions League stuff. Plus, they were also at home and Barcelona lost 2 starters the day of the game and had to make some changes with some teenagers. 77th minute, Felix and Roberto up 3-0 off for Vitor Roque and Oriol Romeu. A good spot for both of those players who are looking to gain some confidence in Blaugrana uniforms. 82nd minute then, Fermin and Hector Fort. Hopefully Hector Fort is okay because he was good again. And while I would love to wax poetic about Hector Fort, I kind of already did with how important his passing was, but just another solid performance. The one hot take I'll give you is that having watched Joan Araujo for Las Palmas over the last month, Hector Fort might be the better fullback. I think he does have a higher ceiling than Joan Araujo, but even in this moment, I wonder if he's not the better fullback. I know he's been playing left back for the first team, but I remind everybody, he is a right back. So I do wonder if that's why I say fullback, he might actually be, in this moment, the better fullback than Joan Araujo. But with the total season that Joan Araujo has had at Las Palmas, I think having both of them in the first team dynamic next season would be a really good spot for Barcelona. So Fermín and Fort come off for Marc Casado and Íñigo Martínez, and nice to see Casado finally make his first team debut after spending so many times. I mean, you're talking 25 plus on the first team bench, and he had a really nice strong tackle in the 85th minute that led to Atletico Madrid having to take some time to get out of their own end, and I'm really happy he could finally make his debut. And for those of you who've been following me for a while here, you know where I stand on what I think his future is in the first team. I do think that Marc Bernal or Pau Prim, who play a very similar position as Casado, have much higher ceilings and would be in the first team dynamics more than Casado. But I do think he's going to be a first team player somewhere over the next few seasons. I think he's really good in the tackle, gets stuck in, and it's really difficult to speed him up. So really happy a kid from the Masia does get to make his debut. And with his performance for Barça Athletic this season, had deserved it. I talked so much about Pau Cubarsí, both in the five headlines against Napoli and then on the podcast with Pablo. So I do send you back to the podcast with Pablo to listen all about Cubarsí and my thoughts on him, because the hype train is going to keep on chugging, especially with him getting a call up to the actual national team, not the U21s like I even would have thought, but yes, to the full team, and talk about the Olympics and the Euros and all the negative parts of burnout and all that. But just taking this Atletico Madrid match again, Cubarsí, so solid, so good, the consummate starter now next to Araujo. I don't know how you dislodge him as a starter here throughout the rest of this season, because some late defending kept the clean sheet from him, cutting out two different crosses, and just so solid on the ball as well. 7 of 10, accurate on his long balls. And the reason why Barcelona have been so good dealing with pressure, even from Atletico Madrid, in a game like this. Saúl had an incredible miss for Atleti in the 86th minute. And the 93rd, Molina got the red card, took away the goal from Vitor Roque right outside the box. Well, red, but not a penalty. But another positive sign from Vitor Roque, good movement. And that's what he already could do at a high level. That's move in and around the box. And good to see him making impacts whenever he sees the field as a sub.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And headline 5, Metropolitano mauling. I'm going to use it again because I like the alliteration. Barcelona have now won 5 straight against Atletico Madrid, and Xavi has a 100% record against Simeone. Unfortunately, Barcelona do not play against Atletico Madrid every time. That seems exhausting to me, and I don't think Barcelona, they have enough injuries as is, would survive that. But Xavi has had Simeone's number. Atleti were also beaten at home in the Liga for the first time in 14 months. So that's a really good sign for Barcelona, and what does cap off their biggest week of the season. Napoli still the biggest win of the season, but this makes it the best week of the season without question. Because Barcelona didn't just beat Atletico Madrid after that win against Napoli, but they went to Madrid and they absolutely crushed them. And Barcelona are now 10 games unbeaten since a certain Catalan manager said he was leaving the club. That's now 10 games unbeaten and really important points in the title race, now up to second against Girona. And while they are still 8 behind Real Madrid, with how poor this Barcelona team has been at times this season, to be in second place in the league in March and in the Champions League quarterfinals, I think that more than meets the expectations that, honestly, I would have had this season. Now, I did have them winning La Liga in my predictions. I did have Lewandowski winning the Pichichi, but I do think that Real Madrid have been a better side than most expected. I thought not having a number nine was going to be their undoing, but they find ways to pick up points. Vinny Jr. has been at the top of his game, one of the best left wingers in world football, and Bellingham, what he did in the first half of this year in front of goal. Impossible to predict that, almost impossible for him to replicate that, but just like Barcelona with Lewandowski and Ter Stegen for the first half of last season, Barcelona were probably not as good as they were when they won the Liga by so many points, and it's been the reverse this season, where Real Madrid, I don't think they've been that good, but they picked up the necessary points when they needed to, and Barcelona started out of the gate slowly, so they're in their best way now. Hopefully they can make it interesting, but I still think La Liga is dead. But if you ask me, even in November, if Barcelona would be in second place in the Liga and into the quarterfinals of the Champions League at this point, I would have said absolutely not. And then you tell me De Jong has missed time and Pedri has missed all this time and there's how many teenagers in the squad? I'd be completely flabbergasted and say, hey, I'll take that any day of the week. International break is up next, which is why this match in five headlines was so long. This is really kind of the podcast recapping Atletico Madrid as well, because I will be taking a little break for a few days and you'll hear from me next on Thursday, most likely talking to a certain tactics expert. So get ready for an exciting show with that. And so you don't miss it, drop a like, subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow on all the podcast apps, or help me out on Patreon. And most importantly, as always, Forza Barca.